Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's great to be with you on this Tuesday of game week. James Franklin with his press conference today, offering insight into the football team. Depth chart released. And the usual Kevin questions.
I have questions. You have answers.
Ask away.
Well, I did notice there was one name that was missing from the depth chart, and that was a very talented tight end who I know is trying to recover.
He's not ready yet. So, you know, you go from there. He's just not ready yet. And it's up to Adam to talk about where he is. That's his call as to what to make. It's not as if he has not been out there and working hard. He has, but not part of the mix to play in a game yet. He's not there yet. Which is, so now who do you have? Mike Gesicki's had a really good preseason. He has fabulous hands, and a lot like Brenneman, he had never played a down in high school with his hand to the ground. He'd always played wide receiver. And Gesicki has made that move to tight end H-back and has done really well with it. And he has fabulous hands, and he's a guy that Hackenberg notices a lot. Brent Wilkerson has had the best preseason camp he has ever had here at Penn State. The best one he's ever had here at Penn State. He has made some plays that have shown a growth and maturity in his overall game. And Kyle Carter is a veteran who knows how to play, and I think finally is completely healthy. It really took a long time for him to really bounce back from the wrist injury, from the ankle injury, and so forth. And Carter's had himself a really good preseason. All right, let's get to NFL issues. Ken Marangola, hogshaven.com. Ken, welcome back. It is great to have you with us on the show, as always, my friend, and I'm sure we have a lot to talk about.
We always seem to, don't we, Steve?
It's not going to be that hard this time around, buddy, I can tell you that. Okay, one thing that you have to have with any football team when you're out in public is speaking with one voice. How difficult has that been for the Redskins organization, when especially it comes to RG3, to speak with one voice?
Well, we talked a little bit about this last time. Griffin, when he came into the league, he was given a platform by Dan Snyder. Now, he earned a lot of it through his play in college. There was a reason why he was drafted number two overall. But it was a terrible situation because he came in kind of as a savior. To the fans, he came in at a ridiculously high cost. The owner was infatuated with him, may still be. Put him on a pedestal, kind of separated him away from the way that other players were treated. And as soon as that happened, I think that's when you started seeing some splintering with regard to this you know, singular, you know, team voice. And you would hear players talk about it. You know, they would never go public and say, you know, you don't ever hear anyone say he's a bad guy. But there was no shortage of him on microphones in front of cameras, you know, putting his opinion out there, even when it wasn't solicited, which I think began to wear on some folks. And I think, you know, it's a combination of him maybe being a little insecure, maybe wanting to live up to, you know, all the expectations. And I think there's a little entitlement there. And you can blame Snyder. You can say that Griffin was somewhat complicit in it. But it was obvious. And I think it rubbed players the wrong way. And sure enough, he started to get kind of a different, you know, points of view from around that locker room.
Ken, beyond that, which every point you bring up is an important point, a valid point, and is part of the mix, where's the actual disconnect in the football field for him?
Oh, that's a great question. No one doubts his athleticism, his competitive drive, all this stuff. You know, I'll give you one thing. Maybe there's a number of ways to answer this. I remember in preseason and training camp when he was a rookie, talking to the beat reporters, the John Kimes and some of the Washington Post guys, and hearing them tell me after a few weeks of practice, you know, in his initial days as a pro, that he wasn't going to last 3 years because of the style of football that he was so good at and that seemed to be the only way he knew how to play. And I think the disconnect, getting back to your question, I think the easiest way to say it is, you know, he has a very, very unique skill set that sets him apart from many other athletes. But in the NFL, it just doesn't fly. You know, when you're getting chased by 6'5", 6'6", guys who weigh 260 and are almost as fast as you and that are programmed to destroy, you know, you're not going to last very long. And I think everyone wants to say, well, you got to stay in the pocket. You got to, you know, learn how to deliver the ball and all these other things. And I don't think that people are saying that because they're traditionalists. I don't think they're saying it because they believe that's the only way to do it. I think they're saying it because that's the only way you can survive. And I don't think his style is conducive, at least what he's shown anyways, is conducive to a long, you know, healthy career.
Ken, what are the odds that the Redskins release RG3?
I would say high. Here's where I'm at. I think that you know, the fifth year option that we hit a couple months ago makes him pretty much untradeable. You know, for the reason I just said, he gets injured, you owe him $16 million. I don't know any rational football person that's going to sign up to that. So there's only two other options, I think, and that is, Griffin can restructure his own deal. He can renegotiate his own clause there. He's the only one that can do it. We can't do it. To make him a little bit more movable, or you release him outright. I think that if I'm Griffin, I'm probably not bending over backwards for the team so that they can do what they want. I think the team is most interested in making sure he doesn't go certain places, and we know what certain places are. We mean Dallas and we mean Philadelphia. Specifically, and so what they're going to do everything in their power to make him as movable as possible, so that they can be in charge of that. But Griffin, I don't know that he has much incentive to play along with that game, which leads me to say, you know, I think if that's the case, and they're going to move on, you got to get rid of him, not in a negative connotation. You just got to get him off your roster. You got to move on with life. You got to let him move on, and you got to let us move on.
In Jay Gruden's system, was he a square peg round hole, or the injuries, what was it?
Well, it's not a loaded question. You know, I think it's a simple answer. He definitely was not the quarterback. He was a square peg in Jay Gruden's system for sure.
Right.
That's the easy answer. You look back at the coaches we've had over time, even going all the way back to, you know, to Norv Turner and Marty Schottenheimer, and time again, and we've seen this carousel of coaches, you know, it's either a coach is going to adapt his scheme to the players he has, or he's going to, you know, change the roster to fit his scheme. And when you see Dan Snyder out there when he was hiring coaches, you know, everyone's kind of sure that he made Jay Gruden say, I'm going to play Griffin. You know, I'm going to figure out a way to use him. And that was kind of his job, right, to make the most out of Griffin. So I think everyone could have said he's not a guy that goes into that offense. But I think Gruden's job was to make him, you know, successful. And I think it's a failure on both their parts in that regard.
All right, now let's approach it from a different angle on this, Ken. Is this, in reality, though, Kirk Cousins' last chance with the Redskins?
Well, I mean, this is last year of his contract. He's playing for a deal. I mean, I think the easy answer is yes, because there's really nothing else. You know, if he does well, he stays. If he doesn't do well, he's gone, right? So there's no real way for him to – it's his last chance because it's the last year of his contract. He either plays well enough to stay or he plays his way off our roster. So I would say, yeah, it's his last chance with us. But I think he's got a leg up in – you know, he is the style of quarterback that Gruden likes. He does play the game the way Gruden wants the quarterback position to be played. And, you know, he's got – I think his probability of success is much higher than it ever was for Griffin, as long as we're talking systems.
Yeah, and he fits what Jay Gruden in reality wants to do in terms of the style of quarterback he is. Is that a correct statement?
Absolutely, absolutely. He's more comfortable, you know, existing in the pocket. I mean, people, you know, they can make it as simple or as complex as you want it. You know, you want it. You go on ESPN or NFL Network, you can have this explained in a number of ways. But at the end of the day, you know, look at Tom Brady. He's not the world's greatest athlete. But how many times does he get hit? You know, like you know, by a Mack truck. You know, he can make that half sidestep. You know, stutter step back, stutter step up. It's the presence and the understanding of where you are, where everyone else is. And, I mean, shoot, pretty much for the entire time he's been in Washington, as recently as the preseason game where he got, you know, killed, you were looking at a guy in Robert Griffin who wasn't moving inside the pocket in a way that, you know, just in like survivalistically, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. But you look at Kirk Cousins, and even though he doesn't have the experience on the field, you can tell there's a comfort level. He, you know, there's an understanding of what he has to do to avoid the sack, to make his progressions, and get rid of the ball, you know, as fast as possible. And those, you know, some people, it comes more naturally, you know. And when you think about it, Steve, I think we've talked about this before too. From the first time Griffin probably ever played football, you know, they just gave him the ball and told him to run because he could outrun everybody. And
sure
that
could.
Was the case. That was the case all the way through college. And so, you know, guys like Cousins and some of these other, you know, guys who are brought up differently in different systems and taught how to play the game differently, it's no surprise that it comes more natural. And unfortunately, in the NFL, it's just too violent. It's too dangerous. You know, the athletic advantages are so much slimmer that it's a very I mean, it's a tough way to make a living when you know you're going to be, you know, Griffin's size and get hammered like he does.
All right, Ken, let's take the quarterbacks out of this, and let's do this Apollo 13 style. What do we have in the spacecraft that's good?
Oh, this there's a thick silver lining here because we do have some good stuff. You know, we got a We got a left tackle who's worth the money we just gave him. That's huge. We have a young offensive lineman on the right hand side that people think highly of, and Scherf. I think everyone believes he can be, you know, an anchor on the other side of the line.
Yeah, I do.
I'll tell you what, staying on offense and staying with guys that we've drafted and developed, I love Matt Jones. Nothing against Alfred Morris, but if you're looking for a reason not to put too much money into the running back spot in the near future, Matt Jones is the answer, unfortunately for Alfred Morris. So we'll see how that plays out. But you know, and on defense, you know, our defensive line is strong. I think, you know, we're super young. at the outside linebacker spot with a lot of promise there. You know, I think that there's definitely things you can point to and say something's happening and it's in progress. And you give McLovin, you know, one more good draft, and I think you're going to see you know it start to come together in a very meaningful way.
All the questions are about the quarterback, but I wanted to get to the parts that people who follow the Redskins, there's a lot more to a football team than just that part, and I appreciate the fact that you went there. Ken, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always, my friend.
Hey, looking forward to a clean slate. There's no prediction that makes sense anymore for the Redskins. We get to write our own future now, and it's going to be exciting.
Absolutely. Ken, thanks so much.
You got it. Have a good one, man.
Ken Maringola, hogshaven.com. Ken's great to have on. Always enjoy having him on the show. Very, very much. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
By the time you're done saying Shikalimi, they've already kicked off and had a three and out.
Let's see if I can calm down this year.
Don't. It's more exciting the other way. Well, seriously. You know, you got to be yourself when you do these things. And that's... I don't like when people try to mimic somebody else or come out, you know, and try and, you know, take somebody else. Yeah, make everything your own.
Well, listen, one thing that I've had people say to me is that they said, you make the game exciting. I said, oh, no. I said, I'm just telling you what I see. And if it's exciting to me, I'll let you know.
It's fine. That's what you want to hear. Make the game more exciting.
Bottom of the hour news update. Then Joe Susan. Scheduled to have Mark Narducci today from the Philadelphia Inquirer. Adam Bittner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette as well. It is loaded and stacked today, so we're looking forward to it.
It's football week.
It is. Tomorrow, by the way, Harry Donahue, the play-by-play voice of Temple football. Jack Ham on Thursday. We got someone from Penn State women's volleyball as well on Friday. They have Colorado and Stanford here in the Pac-12 Big Ten Challenge. You gotta give the Pac-12 credit. At least they can count.
I thought that too.
Unreal.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to bring in the head football coach of the Bucknell Bison, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome back to the show. It is great to hear you again.
Steve, it's good to be with you.
During the course of your preseason, as you've watched them go through this, what kind of progress did you make in the preseason that sends you in a positive direction?
Well, based on what I've seen from our defense, I'll start with that, is we knew going in that we would have experience at the front four, and those guys have really come along and played very well. We knew we'd have experience in the back end of the defense, and that has held true. We've had some minor injuries that we're actually getting healthier as we speak, The most important thing, though, we thought going into preseason was the development of the two young linebackers, Mark Piles and Ben Richard. And they learned and got better each and every day, which is exciting. And watching those guys evolve, both are really exceptional students of the game, which when, especially a young man like Mark Piles, when you tell him things once, he gets it. And we talked about, we have a devotional every morning. We talked about old school football coaches, and Mark is an old school football player, so it makes it easier. You don't have to sugarcoat anything for him. You can be direct, and he loves it that way and responds that way. From an offensive standpoint, one of our challenges was we felt pretty strongly about the four of the offensive linemen. And the fifth is going to be a five and a six. We're going to play two people there, Clayton Hoffmaster and Griffin Barth. Our tight end position got solidified. We're going to start with Andrew Podbielski, and going to play Brian Duncan as well. And then our fullback is actually a tight end. We're starting a true freshman there, and very athletic young man, a kid named Andrew Hours. Our quarterback has really done a great job during the preseason, R.J. Nitti. And then we have the dilemma of having three very talented running backs, which it's hard to divide the ball by three. And but we will, in certain personnel groups, have two running backs on the field. The three running backs, C.J. Williams, who has gotten bigger and faster, Matt Del Muro, and then a young man that really didn't play at all as a freshman because of an injury, Joe DeFloria. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do when they have the ball in their hands. One of the things we have to emphasize to them is that you can't hit a seven-run homer. And sometimes when backs count their carries, regardless of what they say. Then another pleasant surprise is the evolution of John Burdick, our place kicker, who last year didn't really kick with strength and really applied himself. And then we're going to start a freshman punter and kickoff person, a kid named Alex Peachin. And if you were to see, and Kevin will see it in pregame, if you were to see this kid, I haven't seen that kind of kicks as a punter in this league. It both from a height and a distance standpoint, he's consistently in the mid-40s. And the unique thing about him is that he was the quarterback of his high school team. He was a shooting guard on his basketball team. He was a pitcher and a center fielder on his baseball team. And I had him in my office yesterday, and I told him that I kind of feel like I'm selling you short by giving you the ball to kick. And he just laughed. He's also he's also one of the smartest kids on our team. He's an engineer, so a great kid. And we're fortunate we have really good kids here.
Clayton Yule's back at safety. And when you get to this stage, a really good safety reads it. They take great angles. Angles are not emphasized enough, I think, when we broadcast games as to what angle you could take. Does he now play the game in such a way where his comfort level allows him to maybe gain a step or two in anticipation?
Kevin and he would be a dead heat in a 40-yard dash, all right? But Clayton has a unique ability to find his way to the football. And we use him in our pressure schemes. And one of the things he does well that you don't see too often is if he's being blocked by an offensive tackle, he can change up his movement and keep the quarterback to his inside. Obviously, if he's a contained rusher, you want that. And the offensive tackle think he's just going to go around the edge. He can change that up. He is, we use the term slippery. He's slippery in our pressure schemes. We have rotated the group in the back because Connor Golden was out for a little bit in preseason. So all three of those have alternated positions between the weak safety, the free safety, and the strong safety. And the way we're going to play this game, it'll be Clayton Yule will be the strong safety, Brett Berg will be the free safety, and Lou Taglianetti will be the weak safety. And when Connor Golden is live today, when he gets back in there, we're going to make sure he's in great shape before we put him in there. It'll be great to have some depth at that position.
Joe, do you have enough experience now on defense where you can give a fair amount of false pre-reads during the course of a game that can get a quarterback off kilter?
We do that a lot with our secondary, and it is important because a lot of the passing game that we see doesn't depend on a lot of time from a protection standpoint. It depends purely on timing. So a pre-snap read that a quarterback sinks his teeth into, being able to disguise whether it's pressure or a change in coverage, really benefits us when we're playing against a timing passing game. Timing passing game, sometimes it's hard, even if you're pressuring, to get to where you're disrupting the quarterback or impacting, you know, sacking him. And what happens when he sets to throw and the coverage that is there isn't the coverage that he thought, that's what leads to sacks. And we feel we have the ability to put pressure on a quarterback with a four-man rush, with the young men that we have that have played a lot of football for us, and just the ability to keep a quarterback from sinking his teeth into a specific tempo that a lot of these timing passing games become really puts the advantage on our side. And to work to get a team to play off schedule in terms of down and distance, I think, is what our goal will be as we match up their fronts against our fronts.
Give me an idea. Obviously, you want to get stops on every down. But if you can create negative plays on first down, then what does that do defensively in terms of opening up your mindset as to how you want to attack a team?
Well, what it does right off the bat, it puts them off schedule. And most of the game plan for first and second down is with the mindset of being on schedule. And what we're trying to do, and this is not new to, it's not rocket science as it relates to football, we're trying to make them confront an off-schedule third down. Whether it's pressure when we need to pressure, and some of our pressures are related to run pressures, which give you the opportunity to create negative yardage plays on first down, or as you get into the tempo of a game where they're second and long and the things you have to defend become less and less, as long as you keep things in front of you, you're going to put them in a third and unmanageable situation. And we talked about it today in our staff meeting. Most of the game is played in first and second down. The game is won on third down. And that has been our approach as a team, to stay on schedule offensively and put them off schedule defensively. And the team we're playing against, Marist, from their defensive perspective, is they don't want to get beat deep. They take care of the deep part of the field. And what you've got to do is make sure you avoid those off schedule third downs and rely on some in some gashes in the run game. We call them explosive plays in the run game, which I think because of their pressure, they if we get by the line of scrimmage, there is no second level of defense is into the secondary. And with young men like CJ and Matt Del Muro, I think we have that opportunity as well. It's been a long time coming,
Right. Exactly right. I asked you about the ability to create false pre-reads on defense to then get him off balance. Now let's flip it to the other side. With the experience and the game speed now at his back, is R.J. Nitti the kind of kid that can go to the line of scrimmage now, read it, understand it, believe it, and make a play?
I really believe so, and a lot of what we're doing in this game relies on him, both in the run game and the pass game. He's going to put himself in position to make the right calls. It's built into what we've been doing. We're fortunate that we have had a Tuesday and a Wednesday already. This is our second Tuesday. It kind of confuses me on the calendar at times, but RJ has done a lot at the line of scrimmage, and really this game plan relies heavily on him making the right decisions at the line of scrimmage, both run and pass, whether it's run to run, run to pass, or pass to run. And you know, we're playing against an eight-man front. They try as well to disguise their pressures, but there are certain things they show in their secondary in terms of how they rotate their secondary pre-snap that RJ's done a very good job with so far. And this being a first and second down day, Tuesday's our first and second down day, a lot of the run game will be things that we work on today. He's done a very good job with that, and his communication has been outstanding. He's taken better control of the huddle, which is what we wanted him to do. And you know, just he has become a very ardent student of the game. He was in yesterday on Monday, which is our off day, and again today, which it's good to see that, because what he does as well is he's a role model for our younger players.
One final question before I let you go, Joe. We're Joe Susan Bucknell's head football coach. They open with Marist, 6 o'clock Saturday evening. It's also alumni weekend. The importance for you of bonding with the past of this program as you move it forward.
You know, I have a unique tie with a group of guys that run from the early 80s to 1991. But it's the group before that and the group after that that has they have really responded well to the how we're doing things and what we're doing. And the unique thing is that on an alumni weekend, what we enable them to do is spend the game as with sideline passes. So they're watching the game on the sideline, and that, I tell you, that does wonders for our players. You know, the thing that I've always felt that support of alumni and the show of that support really has an impact on the players. And you know what's unique about this first one? Usually it's a very good crowd at Christy Mathewson Stadium. And as of now, the alumni support that we're getting is outstanding, and the weather's going to be good. We did a good job of arranging that. I just I have to pay attention to myself and say you can't wish away time and take advantage of every minute that we have because we need it.
Joe, best of luck to you and your team as you open the season on Saturday night. Thanks a lot for the time you gave us today.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin. I look forward to seeing you guys. Take care.
Joe Susan, the outstanding head football coach at Bucknell. What a job he has done. Cannot say enough about that. You know, we'll kid around a lot, we'll laugh a lot, but as you can tell, it's game week, and so the two of us get down to it and just talked football, because it was that was the most important thing to do there, was to get out the information. They played 6 o'clock. That'll be on Saturday evening at Mathewson Stadium, and I'm looking forward to the season they can have. The opening two games are at Mathewson, by the way. The opening two. Love that. It'll be a 5:30 airtime, by the way, with Doug and Kevin on Eagle 107 Saturday night. 5:30 the airtime, 6 o'clock the kickoff with Kevin Herr and Doug Birdsong. Doug, by the way, has just sent me a note. He would prefer to have top billing. Okay, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Dynamic wings and subs?
Yes.
Excuse me, but do they need a spokesperson?
I'll see what I can do for you.
I mean, excuse me. You're now up my alley here.
Tommy want wingies.
No, I mean, seriously, they want to send me some subs, I'll eat them. I'll talk about them. Look, Pride got flushed years ago.
Gone.
Yesterday, Jack Ham and I, Ron Moeller. And Moeller was just joking. They brought Vichyssoise, right?
That's cold soup, and right?
Yes. And Mueller says, and Mueller's joking here, okay? Mueller says, I don't know about you guys, but my soup is cold.
See, that's what I would have said, too. Why is my soup cold?
And Jack says, Ron, it's vichyssoise. You know, we're all kidding here. And I leaned back and I said, Jack, do you think it's time for us to run with a different crowd? Yeah.
I never understood that soup.
It was good.
Well, I'm not saying it's... I've never had it. Good. I just don't understand the concept of it.
It's good. What does it matter what the concept is? You think too much.
I don't know. I have trouble getting around the fact that it's cold soup.
You think too much.
Never been accused of that.
Ah. It was good. All right? It was vichyssoise. We're sitting there afterward, and Ron had a Sauvignon Blanc. And Jack says, we have never seen you have that before. He says, Steve, get him an umbrella.
Just not the same without the umbrella.
We went over the Capitol Grill when we were done. So I kind of hung there for a little while. Get him an umbrella. Okay. Needless to say, we had a few laughs yesterday. Yeah. Penn State will open. James Franklin has a press conference today. Adam Bredeman's not going to be a part of the mix this week, and then going forward, we'll just see how it plays out. Sometimes it takes time with certain things to work your way back, and it's not the easiest thing. For Adam Bredeman, he has worked awfully hard to get himself to a certain point, but he's not there yet. So the three tight ends will be Mike Gesicki, Brent Wilkerson. Gesicki had a really good preseason, which didn't surprise me. I mean, I think everyone expected Mike to have a really good preseason. Brent Wilkerson had the best preseason he's ever had here. No ifs, ands, or buts. Best preseason he could possibly have. And then Kyle Carter has been really good. And having him back in the mix, I think, has really helped a lot. I don't know if there are any questions you have about the depth chart, whatever. I don't care. Give me a call, 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565. Obviously, the Brennerman one was the big one, which he talked about today. And as soon as I saw I usually barely even glance at it, but I thought, oh, okay, all right. Let's see, the Kevin memo. Steelers trade for Scobie. Well, I'd hope so. They need a kicker.
Yeah, well, at least they got somebody that kicks outside.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, they ended up, I mean, to be honest with you, they've now upgraded the position.
What they had a couple of weeks ago or what they had originally?
All the way through.
Listen, I'm just happy they found somebody. I mean, they gave up a sixth round to get it.
New story in Washington. I think we addressed that.
Yes.
With Ken Marengola. A waiting game for Brady in the NFL. Look, even if Brady loses on Friday, he appeals. He plays. Sorry.
See, that's why I'm hoping for something today, and then they get through a quick appeal.
Okay, the judge isn't ruling until Friday.
Yeah, I know. And then earlier he said he was going to rule today. Make up my mind. Why don't you just wait and rule Thursday right around 7 o'clock?
Don't you want them to beat them with Brady?
Well, you were right until you said with Brady. Don't you want them to beat them? That's it. I don't care if it's with Brady, without Brady, with Brady's wife at quarterback. I don't care. My scruples went out the window years ago.
Doesn't the audience know it?
Pride went too.
The audience knows that too.